What's up, everyone? Happy Monday. Well, it's a Monday for me, depending on what day you're listening to this. Could be another day for you, but today for me is a Monday. And I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like you work, you know, all week long. And you get to Friday and you're excited about it being Friday. And it feels like Saturday and Sunday goes by so super quick, as if there really wasn't a weekend. And then you're back at your job on Monday morning. I mean, that's how it feels for me. And I feel like, where did Saturday go? Where did Sunday go? Like how is it already back Monday again? But grateful, like I'm blessed and grateful for, like, I have a job where I pretty much stay busy all day long. So that helps the time to go by super duper fast, which makes the day go by fast, which makes my week go by fast. So it's like I have jobs or had job before where it felt like Friday just dragged on. And it felt like it took 3 years and a day for Friday to come. But not with this job that I have now. It, like, the day goes by super fast and my week goes by super fast, so which is a good thing. But but I hope everyone is having a wonderful and fabulous day. If it is a Monday, that you know, that you're listening to, I hope you had a wonderful weekend. But today, on today's podcast, I want to talk about letting God fight your battles. Now, I know that we've all had situations, various things happen in our lives, or we come up against different things, and we feel like that we're able to take those things into our own hands and take care of those things. Well, I want you to know that we need to start leaving it up to God and allowing God to fight your battles. Like, have you ever been in a situation, a predicament, a fight, a battle, or, you know, whatever, where you felt like you needed to take matters into your own hands? Maybe you felt you were disrespected by someone. Maybe someone lied on you, and you felt like you needed to respond. You know, maybe you needed to clap back to that person who said something to you. You feeling like ain't nobody gonna be punking me or embarrassing me and get away with it. Or maybe you were trying to do a good thing and wanted something from someone, or you did something nice for someone else, and you expected a thank you from that person. You expected them to return the favor, but all you got was disrespect. Well, that is exactly how David felt. There is a story concerning David and a man by the name of Nabal. Now, the Bible says that Nabal was a very wealthy man. He had property in Carmel, and he also had thousands of goats, 3,000 of sheep, and he was married to a woman named Abigail, who the Bible describes as being intelligent and beautiful. But unfortunately, the Bible describes Nabal as being surly, which means bad-tempered and unfriendly. They said that he was mean in his dealings. And sadly, enough that, you know, there are some navels in this world. You know, there are people just like Nabal, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a friend, a family member, a coworker, your boss, maybe it's a perfect stranger that you come in contact with out in public. There are people out in these streets that are exactly like Nabal, mean and hateful. And hey, I mean, let's be honest, you know, you might be a Nabal, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but hey, I've been in a predicament where I've behaved just like Nabal. So I'm not saying like it's all you and not me. In my own opinion, people who are like this, is they don't act like this for a reason. Now, that's how I feel. You may agree with me, you may disagree with me, but there is no, like, there's a reason why they are the way they are. They don't just come out the womb mean or nasty, or they don't wake up saying, you know, I want to be nasty today. I want to be rude and disrespectful to someone. That's like, that's not, you know, people's mindset, you know? And I feel like there are times where it comes from a place of hurt and pain. Maybe something traumatic or bad happened to them that made them hard and cold and callous and mean and hateful. And I'm not saying that their behavior is okay. I'm not saying that they're justified by how they treat people and how they behave and what they say towards people. But I just want you to get, like, I want you to get the feeling, or just let you know or see a different reason as to why they act the way they act. Now, I know I had a situation where I knew someone who was very mean, very nasty, was very hurtful towards someone that I love, that was close to me, or, you know, that is close to me. And for a while, like, it took me a while to get to this point, but for a while, it took me a while to get to another point, but for a while, it was like I had an issue with this person because I was mad at this person because they was disrespecting a family member of mine. And it wasn't like this family member was doing something back to them or was act in a way that made this person be disrespectful. But it was just like there was nothing that they were doing to cause this person to behave in the way that they were acting towards my family member. And this person would say really mean and nasty stuff to my family member. It was really hurtful. And it was just, it took me a while, but I was angry. I wanted to say something back, but, you know, I didn't. But God, one day, God opened my eyes to really see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture was that this person had been through a lot in their life. They had a rough time. They were dealing with a lot at that time. And they took out their anger, their frustration on my loved one. And, you know, like I said before, I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying it was okay for how they behaved. It was wrong. Nobody should be mistreated like that in any way. But what I'm saying is that hurt people hurt people. And that's just a basic fact. Like, if you're hurt, you're going to try, like, you're going to, like, you're going to, your pain that you're dealing with, or maybe you're not dealing with. It's going to come out, your anger. It's going to come out and be directed towards somebody else who may not have anything to do with what you're dealing with on the inside. So the Lord opened up my eyes for me to see what was really going on inside of this person, to know that this person there was an inner turmoil inside of them. And when you come up against somebody like that, you have to realize it is a heart issue. Like anyone whose heart is like the heart of Christ is not going to behave in that way. But if your heart is not like Christ, if you're not living for Christ and allowing Christ to direct and guide you, then you're going to be tempted. You're going to lean towards having a hateful and a mean heart. So when I thought about that, I thought about the story about David and Nabal. And you can find the story in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 1 through 42. And I was thinking about what made Nabal so hard and callous. You know, why did he behave the way he did towards David? There was no excuse as to why he acted the way he did. But anyway, getting back to the story. So I'm going to kind of just break down the story to you. David was in the desert, and he had heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So David sends 10 of his men to Carmel to go to Nabal and to, you know, and he wanted them to greet them in his name. And he wanted, you know, basically what David was, wanted them to say was to wish Nabal well, to wish him with good health and to heap down like blessings and peace onto them. And so David goes on to tell them to tell Nabal about how well they treated Nabal's men, how well they took care of them, and how well they protected them and their property so nothing went missing. And so, you know, like David didn't have to go out his way to do that for Nabal, but he did it anyway out of kindness of his heart. And it was just like, it wasn't like he was asking him for a favor to, you know, I mean, he was asking that, you know, that Nabal would return the favor to David's men. So David's men goes to Nabal and tells him exactly what David told them to tell Nabal. And you would expect that Nabal would return the favor. And Nabal, being surly, mean Nabal, bad-tempered Nabal, he was like, who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? This is exactly what Nabal said to David's men. He said, who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? And then he goes on and he says, many servants are breaking away from their masters. Why should I take my bread, my water, and my meat that I slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where? So basically he was saying, like, who is this? Like, who and why should I give you what belongs to me, what already belongs to me? Now, it's not like he didn't know who David was. And the fact that he was, like, what gets me is that he was stingy. First of all, he was mean and nasty. And plus, he was just stingy. Like, he wasn't willing to return the favor. He wasn't willing to just be hospitable and do the same for David, even though David did that for him. And so Nabal really refused David's request to feed his 600 men. You probably thinking like, okay, 600 men, that is a lot of, you know, men to help feed and supply things for. And first of all, it was simply hospitality. Demanded that travelers of any number of them would be fed. And so it wasn't like Nabal was poor. It wasn't like Nabal couldn't afford it. Nabal was rich and could easily afford to meet David's request. Secondly, David wasn't asking for a handout. He and his men had been protecting Nabal's workforce. And part of Nabal's prosperity was due to David's vigilance. So David protected his men and their property. And so Nabal refused to return the favor. So when David's men go back to David, and he tells David everything that Nabal says. And of course, and this is where we come in too, David instantly went into fight mode. So, I mean, hey, David just like us. He was like, okay, you ain't gonna punk me. You ain't gonna sit here and be rude and disrespectful after all that I've done for you and your men, and this is what I get from you. So David tells his men to put on their swords while he puts on his swords. And he gets about 400 of his men, and he gets ready, and he's going on a journey to get Nabal, to kill Nabal. Well, Abigail, Nabal's wife, hears about this, and she goes into a plan of action, and she gets things, prepare things to take to David, to meet David. And so to make a long story short, Abigail is on her way to meet David. David is on his way to kill Nabal for how Nabal responded to David. And they meet up. And to make a long story short, Abigail talks with David. And if you want like the lowdown of what Abigail actually said to David, I advise you to go and read the story. It's a really good story. But I really feel like that God led Abigail. God designed for Abigail to hear about what happened between Nabal and David's men. And God placed Abigail in the right place at the right time. And for her to hear what she needed to hear. And I'm glad that she was led by God, because I really feel like God led her to go and to intervene and to pretty much fix the mess that her husband made. And so she went to David, they met, and she basically smooths out things between David and her husband. And basically she was like, hey, she apologizes for how her husband acted and how and what he said. And basically she was like, he really, like, he was acting like a fool. Basically, she apologized and she basically smoothed things over with David. And I feel like God spoke through her, because I'm thinking like, what if, thank God that she followed the leading of Christ, of God, because what if she didn't? And David would have went, and he would have met Nabal, And he would, because David was acting out of his flesh. He was taking matters into his own hands instead of allowing God to handle Nabal in the way God wanted to handle Nabal. He took things into his own hands. He acted out of, you know, he let his flesh, his emotions get the best of him. And he was going to kill Nabal. And Abigail heard about it and intervened. And she basically smoothed things over between, with David. Because her husband was mean and nasty. And so not only was she doing like David, like helping David out, but she was also helping out her husband, which she didn't really have to help out her husband. She could have been like, man, let David kill him because he acted like he's acting crazy. Like he's acting like a fool. Like, okay, let him go ahead, you know. But she didn't. She was looking out for her husband and she was looking out for David. So David does not kill her husband like David was planning to. And so the next day, Abigail goes back home and she didn't tell anything to her husband right then and there because he was drunk and, you know, it just wasn't the best time. And so she tells Nabal the next day about what happened and how she intervened on his behalf. And she could have not have done that. She could have just kept it to herself, you know, but she told Nabal, and like I said, she did Nabal a favor by intervening on his behalf because David felt disrespected. Like even David said, like he said it, you know, basically he was saying it was useless for him to do what he did for Nabal. He's like, it's been useless. All my watching over his property, making sure nothing went missing. And this is how he pays me back all the things I've done for him. Now, mind you, David was beyond angry with Nabal. He was like, you ever heard somebody say he was seeing red? Well, David was seeing red. And I know that we've all been in situations where we felt like, man, okay, I'm done. It ain't like time for talking is over. I'm about to fight and I'm going to knock this, you know. And that's how we sometimes feel. We allow our feelings and our emotions and our flesh get the best of us because we don't want to be punked. We don't want to be embarrassed. And so we act out of our flesh. We allow our flesh to get the best of us. And I'm not saying that we should just allow people to just do and say whatever, you know, whatever they want to do to us, to disrespect us. But there is a way to talk to somebody and to tell them, say, hey, you know, I really don't appreciate how you talk to me or whatever. And if you feel like, okay, if you feel like, you know, man, I'm about ready to like punch this person, then please, like, you know, whether you feel like you want to punch them out or not, we all need to go to God and say, God, okay, now you see what just happened. You saw how they treated me. You saw that they just said this and that. And what should I do, God? How should I respond? And God will direct you and tell you how you should respond. And, you know, it may be that God will direct you to say something to that person, but not just say it in the way you would say it, but allow him to speak through you so you can, you know, speak what God is telling you to speak to that person. Or maybe God will advise you to just walk away, to turn the other cheek, which is hard to do. But if you are being led by God and you're not doing it in your own will, and you're allowing God to use you and to work through you, then, you know, you will be able to just turn the other cheek and to walk away. And us being the child of God, that is how we need to be. We need to represent Christ in all that we do. And even if somebody else may not act like, you know, like they should, you know, we need to be that example. And God may tell you to keep your mouth shut, you know, because I know there have been times when I wanted to tell somebody off, and I had to keep my mouth shut because I knew that that is not what God wanted me to do. He wanted me to keep my mouth shut. And sometimes when we act out of our flesh, we block what God wanted to do in that situation because we wanted to handle it ourselves, because we felt like, well, God's not going to do it in the way that you wanted it to be done. Then we're blocking what God wants to do in that situation, what God wants to do through you and for you and for the other person. And just imagine if David would have got to Nabal before Abigail got to him. He would have had blood, like he would have murdered someone. He would have murdered Nabal. Now, of course, he ends up doing something later on, but Abigail, with Abigail intervening, she helped him from having bloodshed on his hands. And God, you know, used Abigail to intervene so that David would not go through with murdering Nabal. Now, in the end, God ends up striking Nabal because Abigail tells him exactly what happened. And the Bible says that his heart failed him. And then I think like 10 days later, you know, or some days later, Nabal ends up dying. But I told you this story because David acted out of his flesh, out of his feelings. And there's so many times where we rush and you want to do something quickly and we don't think about the consequences of what might happen if we did this, if he told this person off, if he acted in this way. And when you speak something, like the Bible says that there's life and death in your words. Your words have power. And if you speak something, you can injure somebody, hurt somebody with your words. And even though you may say, I'm sorry afterwards, but those words are already out there. You can't take back those words. Even if you apologize, those words are already out there. You've already injured somebody with your words. Or even if you got a physical, like you could end up hurting somebody in a physical way, or you could end up in jail. Like we need to ask God, say, God, you know, I got a temper. You know, I don't like to be punked. Like, just be honest and be like, I need you to intervene. I need you to step in. I need you to deal with the situation. I need you to help me to calm down, because right now I'm seeing red. And the Bible says in Romans 12, 17 through 21, it says, it talks about not repaying evil for evil, to live in peace with everyone. Do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay evil. I will repay, says the Lord. Then it goes on to say, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. And I know we don't want to hear that. We don't want to be nice to our enemies. We don't want to be nice to somebody who's done us wrong or isn't nice to us. But the Bible says, don't repay evil for evil, but to live in peace, to do good to that very same person who has treated you wrong. You know, if that person is hungry, you give them something to eat. If that person is thirsty, you give them something to drink. Don't do evil or do somebody bad in return to what they did to you. And that is how God wants us to be. He wants us to respond in a way that is pleasing to him. He wants us to respond just like him, because we are imitators of Christ, and we need to imitate Christ in all that we do and all that we say. And if you're struggling with that and you need help and your flesh wants you to respond in a negative way, in a mean way, then I urge you to pray and give it to God. Let him know how you're feeling. Let him know what's really going on. I mean, it's not like he doesn't know already. And ask God to help you to respond in a way that is pleasing to him, in a way that he wants you to. Like I said, that can mean walking away. That can mean keeping your mouth shut. That can mean just doing something nice for that person. But allow God to handle the situation. Don't take matters into your own hands like David tried to do with Nabal. But allow God to handle it in a way that he wants to handle it. In the way that he wants to do it. Because his way of handling things is better than what we could ever do. And so I pray that you respond in a way that God wants you to respond. Allow God to handle it, because vengeance belongs to God. Well, that's it for today. I hope this is hope this will bless you, and I hope that you would take the time to read the story about David and Nabal, and to allow God to fight your battle for you. Don't take it into your own hands, but allow him to handle it. Until next time, be blessed, and I will see you next week. Bye.